49. Reckoning in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Nowhere does the believer go further astray than by reckoning self dead. For if the old man, the sin nature, died at the cross, it would mean that he was annihilated. To reckon self to be dead results in the error of eradication. But every honest Christian knows only too well that the self-life is very much alive within. To err here is to cut the lifeline to healthy spiritual development. On the other hand, we are to view the old man as having been crucified, that is, nailed to the cross, helpless, but not slain. See chapter 6. In Romans 6, verse 6, we read, "Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin," that's the law of sin in our members, "might be katagethi." Now, this is the Greek word which means held inoperative, annulled, made without effect, power broken or put down. As we reckon on that crucifixion, the Holy Spirit applies the effect of the cross to self, holding it inoperative and thereby freeing us from its power. Our failure to reckon will release the old man from the cross to resume his sinful reign in our members. There could not be this resumption if self were dead. Galatians 2, verse 20, clearly delineates the two sources of life involved in our reckoning. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me." Oh, how important it is diligently to study the rightly dividing the word of truth, as we read in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Unless the principle of distinctions is faithfully adhered to, our reckoning will be invalid and come to nothing." I have been crucified with Christ. Now, the identity of this I is clearly disclosed in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, where we read, "Our old man is crucified with him. Our sinful, Adamic source of life was crucified in Christ on Calvary." In our daily walk, this self-life isn't slain, but crucified, held in the place of death, rendered inoperative by the work of the cross. And then again we read, "It is no longer I who live." I, as the old creation, my history in Adam, ended at the cross. For me, as a new creation in Christ, newly born again, the death of the cross constitutes full separation from the reign of the old life. Then we read, "But Christ lives in me." Ah, now this refers to me as newly created in the risen Lord. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him," we read in John 15, verse 5. When our Father identified each of us with the Lord Jesus on the cross, all the life that came from the fallen Adam source was crucified. We as individuals were taken down into his death and then raised as new creations in Christ. Romans 6, verse 5 says it this way, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Now think for a moment of 2 Corinthians 15, verse 17, We read, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now this speaks of our position, not our condition. Our condition will develop from this completed position by means of our reckoning faith. When we rose from the dead in Christ, we were created anew, cut off from the old source of life by the cross, and joined to the new source in the power of an endless life. Old things are passed away. That means the old man is passed away as far as the new life is concerned, separated by the death of Calvary. And all things have become new, we read. That is, everything is new in Christ, for we are a completely new creation. It is not that the old life is changed, but crucified and exchanged for the new life. And if that life which I now live in the flesh or live in the body, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Now this is the newly created I. The I as a born again believer in Christ, risen, and now live by faith. The faith of the Son of God. I count on him, not on self, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Oh, the Lord Jesus did not love the old man. He took him to the cross. I am to hate my old life and to count it a crucified thing held in the place of death by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus loves the new me, the branch in the true vine. The subject of our reckoning may be further clarified by separating the three parts of one heart attitude. First, identified with Christ, we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Romans 6 verse 5. We were spiritually baptized into his death by virtue of being identified with him. Romans 6:3 says this, "Know you not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" This has reference to the true baptism of the Spirit. And we read in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." Water baptism by immersion is a pictorial testimony of this finished work. Knowing ourselves to have been identified with Christ, we are able to reckon ourselves to have died to sin. Secondly, reckoning that we died at the cross in Christ isn't reckoning ourselves to be dead now. We passed through death and are forever alive as new creations in him. God hath quickened us, or enlifted, or recreated us together in Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 verses 5 and 6. Being brought out of death in his resurrection gives us ground on which to reckon ourselves alive to God in Christ. And thirdly, as for the Adamic law of sin which is in my members, we reckon on the fact that it has been crucified, not destroyed. It's been crucified. Its power over us as new creations broken and rendered void. As we reckon on this truth, the Holy Spirit applies the crucifixion of the cross to self and we are progressively freed from its influence while walking in dependence upon the Spirit. If we become careless or choose to walk in the flesh and draw from the resources of self, the old man is at once free to bring forth the works of the flesh in our members. But as we increase in knowledge of the finished work and allow the cross to separate us in experience from the Adamic source while the Spirit develops the new life within us, we grow in the not I, but Christ walk. There is further light on the principle of distinctions in Romans chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. Here the mighty Paul is learning that in his own strength he is powerless against the indwelling law of sin. He writes, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now note the distinction between the two sources within. Sin flowing from the old source, not the new. He also discovers that even as a new creation in Christ, he cannot by his own endeavours overcome indwelling sin. The fallen Adam life within, the very embodiment of the principle of sin, can do nothing but sin. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, for I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, Romans 7 verse 18. The last Adam, the very life of Christ within, cannot sin, and is manifested as the fruit of the Spirit. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. We read in 1 John 3 verse 9. As we reckon on crucifixion of the first Adam source, the flow of indwelling sin is progressively cut off by the daily work of the cross. And while we reckon on the new life in the last Adam, the flow of his endless life is increasingly deepened by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The source of our Christian life is distinctly revealed in Romans 8 verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, he is none of his." God sees us as not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We are to reckon likewise. As individuals identified with the Lord Jesus, we were cut off from fallen Adam in his death, and created anew in Jesus in his resurrection. The source of our new life is the last Adam, who indwells us by the Holy Spirit. This is the principle of the two Adams, the two sources. Although as believers we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, the self-life will flow and grow as long as we fail to reckon on the work of the cross and to abide in Christ. Contrariwise, as we walk in dependence upon the Spirit, he will cause the indwelling life of the Lord Jesus to flow through us as rivers of living water. There is an allegory of the sea captain who in mid-ocean is charged with a capital offence. He's put in chains and replaced by another. As the ship sails on, the chained one seeks to assert his old authority over the crew. Some of them might just be foolish enough to respond, but there is no need to, for he has been judicially deposed. It is now simply a matter of acknowledging the new captain and refusing the threats and the orders of the condemned one. The death sentence is not yet carried out beyond his being held in the place of death, his power broken, but he will be executed when the ship reaches port. In the meantime, he causes a lot of trouble. Is this not a picture of the Adamic source, held in the place of death, replaced by the new source at the helm of our ship? Our attitude towards the old man is to be this: I reckon on the crucifixion of the cross as your undoing, and therefore refuse your reign over me. I count the Lord Jesus Christ as the captain of my life. When we reach the heavenly port, the conflict will be over. And in the meantime, we rest. We rest in him.